I'd like to title, the title of this sermonette is, I'm titling it, The Power of a Changed Life. And you may have heard or read the following, that the greatest sermon you'll ever preach is a life transformed by Jesus Christ. In 1979, atheist investigative journalist Lee Strobel's wife became a Christian. You may have heard of this man. Her quiet, changed life led Lee, a Yale-educated lawyer, to investigate the resurrection. And in the course of trying to disprove his wife, he ended up writing The Case for Christ. And you may have read this book or seen the movie. And he ended up converting to Christianity. His conversion so impressed his five-year-old daughter that she even asked, Mommy, I want God to do for me what he did for Daddy. The Apostle Paul shows us this same power. Paul's road to Damascus moment in Acts 9, verse 3, turned a violent, fire-breathing, murderous, zealot persecutor into one of the greatest witnesses in the Bible, as exemplified in Philippians 1 and verse 19, if you'll turn with me there. Philippians 1 and verse 19, we'll read verses 19 through 26. Philippians 1 and verse 19. For I know that through your prayers and the help of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, this will turn out for my deliverance, as it is my eager expectation and hope that I will not at all be ashamed, but that with full courage now, as always, Christ will be honored in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. If I am to live in the flesh, that means fruitful labor for me. Yet which shall I choose? I cannot tell. I'm hard-pressed between the two. My desire is to depart and be with Christ, for that is far better. But to remain in the flesh is more necessary on your account. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain and continue with you all for your progress and joy in the faith, so that in me you may have ample cause to glory in Christ Jesus because of my coming to you again. His changed life magnified Christ more than his words ever could. To go from extreme persecutor to one of God's most ardent supporters. And in Matthew 9, verse 9, we won't turn there, God takes Matthew, a tax collector, both reviled and hated by his own people, and transforms his life into a living testimony. What incredible examples. Somewhere in the latter half of the 80s, I had just arrived home from the midnight movies with friends, and as I entered the house at approximately 3 a.m., I noticed my older brother Jeff was sacked out on the couch in the living room, sleeping peacefully along with his big black lab Alex on the floor next to him. As Alex heard and spotted me, I could hear his tail thumping gently against the side of the couch. But as I made my way into the kitchen to get a snack, I was less than quiet and woke Jeff up, my still bigger than me Golden Gloves brother, who then proceeded to yell rather crankily for me to keep it down. I'm trying to sleep. My retort was less than wise, and most definitely the reason we ended up in the front yard at 3 a.m., directly beneath my parents' second floor window, trading blows and throwing each other into the bushes. Fortunately for us, my parents did not wake up, and neither did any of my neighbors. What a terrible example. It was the last time my brother and I ever fought. In the next couple of years, God took my life in a direction I could never have anticipated or planned had I tried. He took a rebellious and wayward heart, and although the road was not easy, he began to replace the dark areas of my heart with his Spirit. He placed in me a desire for him to be near and with his people. And he gave me hope, and he gave me a purpose. Brethren, all my life to that point, I struggled to be near my brother, to be like him, to be included in the things he did, to be accepted by him. What I never expected was that with the changes God wrought in my life and who I was, my brother now wanted to be near me. My entire family saw these changes. I have a letter from my brother from that particular year I was unable to locate in time for this message. But Tammy helped me to unearth a card from my baby sister Kathy, a card that's now 36 years old. I have it here. And from that same year. I'll just read one specific part. This card is very special to me. Tim, I just wanted you to know you're a very special person to me. I've always tried to follow your example. That wouldn't have happened years before. Brethren, that was the power of life that God changed. This spring holy day season signifies change, renewal, transformation, and hope. If you'll turn with me to Romans 12 and verse 2. Romans 12 and verse 2. Romans 12 and verse 2 reads, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect." And if you'll turn with me next to Ezekiel 26 and verse 36. Ezekiel 26, 36. And I think I have the wrong scripture. I'm going to read it anyway. I do apologize for that. "And I will give you a new heart and a new spirit I will put within you. I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes and be careful to obey my rules." Brethren, we're here because God wants to change us. People don't just hear the gospel. They don't just need to hear the gospel. They need to see it in us. Let us always ask ourselves, does the life I'm living make Jesus attractive? Let's give our hearts completely over to him to mold us, to shape us, transform us, so that our lives bear witness to his work in us.